How many are glad Jesus is good? So you give a round of applause for Jesus this morning, huh? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Those of you who were with us a year ago to hear Pastor Ward Correll had a real privilege to hear his testimony. Some of you have said, well, maybe he'll share part of it again, whatever you share, brother, that's on your heart. But we love Pastor Ward and Pastor Darla Correll, Pastor Ward and Darla Correll, we have known them for 35 years or more from Spokane, and now they're in Portland. The man is a genius. I should have said that with a solid tone of genius. And a fantastic tax help. Travels all around, the world and the nation to minister as well as help ministers and churches and people do their tax returns. I'm sure he has cards he can distribute this morning, but that's not what this is about. This is about ministering the presence of the Lord. He's a real friend of ours and of Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry's for a long, long time. We love you guys. We welcome you. We're glad you're here with us. Let's give them a Grace Christian Center welcome. Pastor Ward.
The Lord, it is good to be with you again. People ask me how I'm doing that have heard my testimony, and I tell them I'm not doing too bad for an old dead guy. Seriously, I'm supposed to be permanently disabled and not functioning at all, and so I'm doing really, really, really quite well. Hallelujah. And we, just a few months ago, buried my mom. She was 92. Just an update on the family. Looking forward to a new grandchild. Don't know what it is. And I don't know if my daughter is interested in finding out what it is before the time this time. We'll have to see how that plays out. In February, so that will be number 8 on the grandchildren list. So hallelujah, we're having fun. We really, really are. Now, if you have not heard the first message, I'll refer you to your tape department to get the message that deals with my testimony and the hearing ear and listening to God, because this message follows along with it, okay? And we're going to pray in just a second. I'm also going to give a place for cutoff so that they can edit the first part of the comments out of the message, so it'll be just message in the other part. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we ask for your covering this morning. We sense your presence. We just feel the sweet spirit of God in this place. And we ask, Father, that you come and add word upon word, line upon line in our hearts of your glory and of your presence and of your promises. Help us, God, this morning to communicate your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3, or chapter 1, rather, verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. If I don't give you time enough to turn to all the scriptures this morning, I will try a little bit, but I'm going to go very fast because I've got a lot of word to communicate. And I've cheated and written all mine out. Okay? So, you bear with me, and then if you get behind, take notes and listen to the tape again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, aren't you glad when God's mercy operates in abundance? According to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's begotten us what? To a lively hope. To a lively hope. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And we're glad we're not superstitious. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. You know, for a long time, I thought Paul got that wrong. Pardon me, but I did. I thought he made a mistake. I did not go to Bible college to learn how to love. I went to Bible college to learn to be a man of paste and flour. I mean of faith and power. I went to Bible college and we had the life of faith as a class. Miracles, you know, healing, all of these classes that talked about getting the demonstration of God in today. And faith was number one. You're supposed to be a man of faith, word of faith, power of God, all of this. Love? You're kidding me. It took a while for me in the ministry to find out that faith works by love, and that if something's wrong and you're believing, you might check love instead of checking your faith. Hello? And it took me a while to get to the place where I was agreeing with Paul that love is number one. Okay, but there was never a question as to what was number three. Number two can try harder, but number three is just it, you know? Faith, hope, and love. Well, faith. Okay, love. Hope. I mean, hope was for senior citizens. Hope was for people with one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel that didn't have anything to do but hope, so, okay. And quite honestly, until the Spirit of God started talking to me, I'd never heard a message on hope. You stop and think about it. Faith has a chapter, right? Love has a chapter. Hope doesn't rate. Just does not rate. Hope is always number three. There was a sentence written by Terry Lindell about C.S. Lewis. He says, hope is a thing with feathers that perches in the soul, lived in a cage of ache and agony in the anticipation of joy. Okay, now, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. In these two verses, Paul gives us a list in the negative of the five greatest things that we possess as Christians. There he says, wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh, made by hands, and at that time you were without. Now he starts going into a list of things that you didn't have. But these are the things that we get when we accept Jesus. Okay? You were without Christ. First thing you get is you get Jesus. Okay? When you accept the Lord, you get Christ. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. The next thing you get is family. I don't care how many brothers or sisters you have or don't have. We come from a big family. Now, I mean large family, particularly on my dad's side. But you might be an only child, but I tell you, you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you got brothers, you got sisters, you can go in different parts of the country, and you will connect with individuals you've never known, but there will be in a moment a connection in the spirit like you've known them for years. Why? Because they're family. They're family. When you get Jesus, you get family. You get family. Being strangers from the covenant of promise. When we get Jesus, we get the book. We get the book. We get Jesus, the family, the book. Having no hope, we get hope. And he says, without God in the world. So we get hope and God. Jesus, the family, the book, hope, and God. It's not a pick and choose. It's not a smorgasbord. You can't say, well, I want Jesus and I want the Bible, but I don't want the family. Okay. Or you can't say, well, I like Jesus, I don't like God, but I like the book, but I don't like... No, you get one, you get them all. Right. It's a basic package. It's no separation. Right. You get all of them. Kind of like a basic deal. All five of them. Now, the one thing I wouldn't have necessarily done if I was coming up with that list myself, I wouldn't have put hope in there. I mean, think of it. God, Jesus, the family, the Bible, and hope. What a thing to put in the five. Not faith, not covenant ideas, or not, you know, all the things that could go there. Hope was put there. Hebrews chapter 6. You know, there might be something more to this hope thing than we sometimes realize. In Hope chapter 6, verses 18 to 20, that by two immutable things, by the way, I've got a message about those two immutable things, Jacob and Boaz, that I've got to preach sometime here. Two immutable things. It's a powerful word. Okay? In which it was impossible for God to lie. There's a story behind that, by the way. That we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay upon the hope that is set before us. And we're looking at hope this morning. Two immutable things, why are they there? To lay hold on this hope, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Now sometimes we hear Jesus is our anchor, but no, this verse goes on and says Jesus is the forerunner. He's the high priest that's entered in, but hope is the anchor of our soul that enters into the veil. Hope is the anchor of our soul. We are stirred up, we are brought by God, by these immutable things, to lay hold of this hope. And hope is the anchor of our soul. There's something about hope that we have not seen. Okay, now hope has to do with meditation. And by the way, the modern Christian use of hope is not scriptural. You stop and think of it. You say, well, what's going to happen? And somebody says, you know, is it going to turn out okay? Well, I hope so. And what they're feeling and experiencing is not biblical hope. What they're basically saying is, I see misery and woe, and it's all looking bad, and I think it's going to be horrible, but I sure hope it doesn't happen to me. Real faith and vibrancy and hope there, you know. Okay, this morning I want to use a personification of hope. Now, personification is where you use human elements and put them on a non-human thing. The Bible in Proverbs does this with wisdom. Wisdom built her house. And then it starts about wisdom as a lady building a house, you know, and gives characteristics and so on. I want hope to be a guy this morning. And by the way, he's not insecure in his masculinity, having a name by the name of Hope. Little guy, about this tall. He's got dark, dark black hair, a pointed mustache, and a pointed goatee. He's French. Got a great big smile. A painting schmuck, you know, the poofy hat and the schmuck and all of that. He's got a palette with all kinds of paint on it. He's got his brush. His name is Hope, and he's in charge of interior decoration.
Wow.
And he came to paint. He came with Jesus and the Bible and the family and God. His name is Hope, and he just showed up ready to paint and to fill your heart and your life with pictures because he paints what you see. What you really see. Now, by the way, do you see what you want? Or do you see what you fear? Do you want what you see? The seeing eye and the hearing ear, God hath made both of them. But do you have ears to hear and eyes to see? Hope has to do with interior decoration, has to do with meditation. Now, by the way, are you aware you're a very complex individual? You've got all kinds of rooms in you. He's got all kinds of walls to fill. I mean, when I go to visit somebody, I love it if I get a tour of the house. We got a tour of Carl and Sherry's house. And it, to me, it's an adventure, you know, all these rooms. Now, by the way, when it depends on how well you know somebody of what rooms they're willing to show. If you're new in their life, they say, well, hallelujah, come on in. This is our front room, and you stay put, you know. A little bit later, you get to know them a little bit better. They say, hey, come on in. Here's the den. Wait one moment. And they go into the den. Come on in. You know, and you get to fill up the rooms of your heart with pictures. Of what? Of everything you see. And by the way, you'll be surprised how many rooms you have. I have lived with this lady for many years, and I find out she has all kinds of rooms. Some rooms I am still discovering. Guys, by the way, don't ever try to totally figure out your wife. The Bible says it's a great mystery. And it really, 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 really is. Now, let me give you an illustration of how hope works. Here's a secretary. She's working for this construction guy. And he's putting in a bid on a deck out here on this nice waterfront property of this deck, you know, that's going on the outside. And it's about a $35,000 deck, okay? Very nice deck, okay? And she's typing out the bid, not paying attention, and she types 31 instead of 35. Types it up, sends it off, doesn't proofread it, okay? A few days later, she gets back this letter saying, wow, what a neat bid. $31,000, I accept. And she said, oops, wait a second, it wasn't 31, it was 35. And she gets the notes out from the boss, it's 35. She gets her letter out and proofreads it and find out she made a typo. And she put a bid in for $4,000 less than what the boss wanted the bid to go out and has been accepted. She takes the letter, puts it on the bottom of the mail, takes them in, puts them on the boss's desk, go back, and sit down, and she's sweating. Her palms are wet. And Hope is there. He says, I'll paint you a picture. Oh, yes, please. Oh, okay. How is that? Oh, it's worse than that. Okay. Little blood in the corner. Okay. Have you ever been through something and then commented afterwards, I knew it was going to be like that? Huh? A picture that was painted. By the way, you paint pictures of everybody. Of everybody. Your spouse, your kids. You really know your pictures by some statements. Like, that's the way you really are. Or you're always like that. You dumb kid, why can't you be different? Well, Mom, you're just having your picture fulfilled. Hello? You with me? Okay. Some scriptures from the Bible on hope. Psalm 119, verse 49. 119, 49. Remember thy word unto thy servant, wherein thou hast caused me to hope. What does hope do? Remember your word, wherein thou hast caused me to hope. What are you supposed to do with the word? You're supposed to hope in the word. What do you mean, hope in the word? Well, here's the verse. You can all prophesy one by one. Hope, paint me a picture. I'm standing in the house of God. I've got one foot just slightly forward. I've got one hand up, and I've got my finger up, ready to prophesy. Like that, you know? And I'm going to prophesy. Well, I can't prophesy. Well, what picture do you have? Well, I'm sitting in the chair. My head's down, because I don't want to be noticed. And I'm quiet. And he's a pastor. He's paid to prophesy. I don't let him prophesy. I see him prophesying. But what picture do you have? You know, when you read the Bible, you're supposed to see you in it. You're supposed to see the word and say, I can do that. I can do that. You all can be healed. I can do that. You can prophesy. I can do that. You can pray for this. I can do that. What? In the grocery store, laying hands on somebody. In the grocery store, why not? Why not? Wouldn't it be fun to see them walking and leaping and praising God out of a wheelchair in a grocery store? Can you imagine what would happen in the grocery store? I like that. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. I like some words, deferred. Hope, defer, You know, like engine trying to start in the car? Hope, defer, Hope, defer, makes the heart sick. You ever had your heart sick from hope waiting a while? Hope, deferred, makes the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, guys, a clue about hope. It's more than we think it is. When the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Hope is tied somehow into the tree of life. Hope is tied to the tree of life. You want back to that tree? You got to get hope. You got to get hope. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 26. Lamentations of that happy chapter or happy book that hides behind Jeremiah. Okay, verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. But you know, that's good enough to write a song about. Someone needs to get a hold of that. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good for them that wait, good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good, it is good, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the Lord, for the salvation of the Lord. Notice that verse. Therefore will I hope. I will hope. I can hope. I can do hope. I can hope. I, as an act of my will, can hope. It's not a passive involvement. I can hope. And it's good for me to hope. It's good for me to hope. It's good for me to be involved with my soul to hope. It's good for me to hope. It's a lively hope. He's begotten me into a lively hope. It's an anchor. It touches the tree of life. It's good for me to hope. It's good for me to hope. And I will. I can. I can do it.
Right.
I can hope. Okay? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19. The law made nothing perfect. Have you found that out yet?
Yeah.
With kids, have you found that out? Oh, I tell you. You know how to raise kids until you get your own. And then God will give one to you, or maybe more than one, that stretches your grace as far as your grace will go, and maybe a little bit further, and break every rule that you try to put down. And you can try to put more laws on them to make them perfect, and I tell you, honey, the more laws you put on them, you'll find out the truth of this verse. The law made nothing perfect. And it's true in the spirit, too, in the natural realm. It's not the natural realm, the spiritual realm, with us growing up and maturing in Christ. The law made nothing perfect.
Yeah.
But catch this next phrase. But the bringing in of a better hope did.
Yeah.
What? I thought it was faith that got us to maturity. No. The bringing in of a better hope is able to mature Christians. What? But the bringing in of a better hope did. Did what? Make something perfect. Wow. Okay. Back into 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love, verse 7. Excuse me. You're supposed to know that by the word of knowledge. 1 Corinthians 13:7. Love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. Love what? Love hopeth all things and endureth all things. It does what? It hopes to all things. Now, guys, to practice hope, what I literally do is I talk to hope. I've got this picture in my mind of my little French guy. And when I'm driving downtown Portland, I'll talk to him. I'll say, Hope, I need a parking spot. Empty space on my side of the street with time on the meter. Now, did he say all things or did he say some things? All things. Guys, you need to get rid of that idea that God is a box on the wall that's red that says, in case of emergency, break glass. Well, we call on God only on the real heavy-duty things. No, you need to call on God on the nickel and dime things. Why? So you're so in touch with God when it comes time for the big things so you don't have to hunt for Him. Hello? Now, by the way, I'm into grandkids. I like grandkids. And it is fun to watch how fast they develop and the little things that they pick up. What do we want to know? What did he learn today? Okay? Do you think God gets any less delight out of his kids? God is interested in the little details that you pick up today, the new things you learn. He's interested in the small stuff. He is interested in the small stuff. Hope, hope, hope all things. Hope all things. Okay, now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. In my Bible reading, and by the way, this is the verse where this sermon started. I was reading in my regular Bible reading through the book of Hebrews, and I got to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is a fun chapter to preach out of on faith. Now, faith is, hallelujah, it's not the future, it's now. It's not the past, it's not the, you know, it's now. Now faith is, you know. Good preaching, good preaching chapter. And I was reading along, minding my own business, you know, reading this verse. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the Holy Spirit pushed pause. And he said, Ward, yeah? If something is not hoped for, it cannot be substantiated. And I said, say what? He repeated it. He said, if something is not hoped for, it cannot be substantiated. And all of a sudden, a light came on in my spirit, and I saw hope differently for the first time. Now, I used to say, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. But you know, I got a problem with that because I've seen people claim the promises and die of cancer. You know what I mean? Let me say it to you a different way. Every promise in the book that you have hoped for is yours. Right now, you are living your Christianity at the level you have dared to hope God for. Now, is that heavy or is that heavy? Hope? Yeah. If something is not substantiated, it's not, or if something is not hoped for, it can't be substantiated. When I saw that, and I mean, in just boom, I had this message in my spirit. And I saw hope as painting pictures, and I saw pictures that I had in my heart, you know, of things that I had painted, how I really saw people, how I really saw situations. And I said, oh God, time out. Give me a moment. And I got down in my heart, and I got a basket, a grocery basket, figuratively speaking, and I went and I took down pictures of people in my life that I said, God, I don't want that substantiated. And I don't want that substantiated. I don't want that substantiated. And I went down into my heart and got rid of things how I saw them. That weren't scriptural. It wasn't scriptural views of the people and situations that I saw. But I did not want. I mean, when God comes to you to fulfill something, where does he go? To the walls of your heart and what you have hoped for. Job, talking of that experience, said it another way. He said, that which I feared came upon me. The pictures I painted happened. The pictures I painted happened. And I thought, oh God. No. Okay? In Romans chapter 8, verses 20 to 25, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. God took creation and put creation into a bat of vanity. You know, vanity of vanities. All is vanity, saith the preacher, Song of Solomon. Vanity is like swimming in mud. You know, getting nowhere. By the way, the time to read the Song of Solomon is when you're frustrated. It will really minister to you then. Okay, but you think, well, I could just see Gabriel. He's watching God take the world and taking the world over and plopping it into a vat of vanity. And Gabriel says, God, did you really mean to do that? And God says, not a problem. Why? Check God's pictures about the world. Check what God sees about the world. He's got it in vanity right now, but what does he see? There's a day coming when no one will have to ask his neighbor, do you know the Lord? For they'll all know me from the greatest to the least. There's a day coming when the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. There's a day coming when every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. You check his pictures, he does not have a problem with what's going to happen to this earth. He does not have a problem with it. He did it in hope. because the creature also itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. We're what? We're saved by hope. Is your theology big enough for that? Because I always, we're saved by faith. Now, actually, guys, we're saved by faith, we're saved by love, and we're saved by hope. Whoa. We're saved by hope? Yeah. Get your heart a little bit bigger. Or tear the verse out, you know? We're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we do not see, then we with patience wait for it. Now, I don't have to hope and paint a picture about a pulpit to put my Bible on. I got a pulpit. It's a nice one. Got two crosses. I don't know where the third one is.
Right up there.
Up there. There it is. Okay. So we do have the third cross. Okay. I don't have to hope for a pulpit. But if I didn't have a pulpit, then I could say, hope, paint me a picture. I want a pulpit, yeah. Preferably not see-through. You know? I don't like these transparent plastic ones. Okay? And I want one big enough to put my notes on. Paint me a picture. Amen. That's it. And then when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. So I don't have to wait for it. But if we're looking for something, you know, that we don't have yet, and we're waiting for it, we with patience wait for it. By the way, how many of you ever prayed for patience? How many need patience today? Can I pray for you? No. Why? By whom? Romans 5. By whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. You know, God is interesting. God is interesting. He knew we'd never pray for tribulation. But he gets us in a situation where we get frustrated, and we get anxious, we get worked up about something, and then all of a sudden, out of our mouth comes these words, oh, God, give me patience. I wouldn't need it, Lord. I didn't need it. I didn't need it. God says, too late. I heard that prayer. Hallelujah. I've been waiting for this. I shall fulfill your request, glory to God. You know, you pray for patience and you get a pesky neighbor. Or something like that, that is a thorn in your flesh. And they're there to irritate. Now, somebody says, are we going to be here for the Great Tribulation? Well, it all depends on whether you have anything left in you to tribulate. I mean, you can work out this out ahead of time, guys. We work out our own salvation by fear and trembling. We work it out ahead of time. Now, I used to get irritated, frustrated by cars. Okay? And I could have a car go bad, and I would do a slow burn that would last more than a day. It'd be a day and a half, at least. You know, as far as that car had no right to interfere with my schedule. I'm getting better. I'm getting better. On the way up here, I got my phone out of the car and dragging it on the mic cord when I was trying to do something real quick in traffic. And we were in traffic, you know, on the highway. And I hopped out of the car real quick to put the top down and got back in. And my phone had fallen out. It was dragging. And the car honked and stopped us. We got our phone back. We didn't lose the phone. I lost the headset, so it was dragging by. But it took me about 10, 15 minutes to get through irritation with myself on doing that. A whole lot better than it used to be. A whole lot better than it used to be. How long do you take to tribulate? Are you going to be here for the Great Tribulation? Depends on how much is left. Oh, glory. Now, by the way, have you ever prayed that prayer, God, give me patience, and then kind of forgot about it, but the tribulations didn't? And the odometer on a car, not the new ones, you know, that are digital and electric and all that, the old-fashioned ones that used to go over, you know, not the speedometer, the odometer, marks miles, you wait for it to go over 100,000 miles or 666 miles or, you know, whatever. Okay, we pray, oh, God, give me patience. Tribulation, God said, thank you. Tribulation number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then all of a sudden, tribulation goes over, 0, patience comes up, 1. Oh, God, we're here now. You can stop. But for some reason, God doesn't seem to get this idea of stopping. 27, 28, 29 tribulations later, all of a sudden tribulation goes over 0 and patience comes up number 3. Let's speed it up a little bit. 96 tribulations later, 97 tribulations later, 98, 99, tribulation goes over 0, patience goes over 0, and experience comes up 1. Oh, wait a second. What's this? What's this? What's this? We only read the first two words. Tribulation works patience. Sure. But patience works experience. Oh, that tribulation isn't so bad because I've got the experience. Speed it up a little bit. 999 tribulations later. Tribulation goes over 0. Patience goes over 0. Experience goes over 0. And hope comes up 1. Hope? Where'd hope get into this? Don't you know that tribulation worketh patience, patience works experience, and experience worketh hope? Now, he knew you'd never pray for hope, but he knew you'd get frustrated enough to pray for patience. And you're too anxious to pray for experience. So he put patience in there so that you could pray for patience so that tribulation could work patience and patience could work experience. And then he'd finally get to bringing in a better hope. Why? Because bringing in a better hope makes things perfect. It brings people to maturity. It's tied to the tree of life. It's tied to the anchor that goes into the holiest of all. It's tied to more than you can ever imagine. It's good enough to put in the 5 that you get when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The bringing in of a better hope. The bringing in of a better hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. In Romans chapter 4, verse 16, therefore it is of faith. Oh, I knew faith was good. Supposed to be number 1. That it might be by grace to the end that the promise may be sure to all the seed, not to that which is of the law, but to that which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. Amen? Okay. Now, this is where the verse where that song comes from. Abraham's the father of us all. Abraham's the father of the faithful. But guys, if I'm correct in my message this morning, and something cannot be substantiated unless it's hoped for, if Abraham is the father of the faithful, Abraham must also be the father of the hopers. You follow me there? He's got to be the father of both, if that works. Let's go on. As it is written, verse 17, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. Verse 18, who against hope, Abraham against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, as according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Okay, now guys, this is Ward's version, Genesis. You go back and check out the Genesis account in a little bit, okay, after service. Bear with me. God comes to Abraham and says, I make covenant with you, and your seed is going to be like the sand that's along the shores. It's going to be like the stars in the heaven. Abraham says, time out, God. Hope, where are you? Paint me a picture. It's me and the missus and a little bouncing baby boy. Hallelujah. Right in the main hall. Glory to God. Okay, God, what were you saying? He painted a picture. Let me ask you, did Abraham have to deal with tribulation? Did he have to wait? Did he and his wife and his handmaiden ever try to help God and cause problems over there that are still going on today? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, wait and wait and wait and wait, and he's getting on to be 100. Sarah's pressing 90. He's not doing so badly for an old guy. Sarah, can you imagine this conversation that he would have with traders coming through? I mean, they're in the Fertile Crescent. The traders stop in to do business, real and deal. And, oh, hallelujah, how's your name? You know, they try to build rapport. How's your name? What? Oh, what's your wife's name? Sarah, oh, mother of many nations. Great, hallelujah, what a lovely name, lovely wife. How many kids do you have? None. Oh, excuse me. A woman's glory was her children, you know, and Sarah didn't have any. Then one day, Abraham's out in front of his tent, basking in the sunshine, right? Three men start approaching. I think the Spirit of God hits Abraham. He hops up and goes, meets. Now, he calls them Lord. They're on their way down to Sodom and Gomorrah to take care of a little business down there, a little fire and brimstone stuff, yeah, right, and whatnot. But they're going to stop off and tell Abraham about it, let him get a lesson on intercession that he needs to write for us so that we know how many righteous men it takes to save a city and all that kind of stuff and so on and so on. Abraham says, oh, come on in, have barbecue. I'll kill a fatted lamb, we'll have barbecue. It's going to be neat. Come on in. Word's version, okay? So they're in. They're going through this heavy dialogue and all of this kind of stuff. Sarah's outside the tent, listening. Abraham's in with men, you know, doing manly thing and all of this kind of thing and so on and so on and so on. And God says to Abraham, Abraham, about this time, according to the season of the life, next year, you're going to have a son. Now, by the way, it's not an immaculate conception. It's not the Holy Spirit's kid. It's Abraham and Sarah's kid. Yeah. Meanwhile, Sarah, outside, I mean, she's 90. It had ceased to be with her after the manner of women. God inside the tent says, you laugh! Me? Not me? Not me. Okay. God went down to Sodom and Gomorrah to take the business. Abraham and Sarah were left there in the tent. The next morning, Abraham gets up, goes into the kitchen to get his oatmeal. Sarah. Now, by the way, I'm going to have to check with Abraham when I get to heaven. But I think it was Sarah. Because I think that God rejuvenated Sarah. Now, in the book of Hebrews, it says that she received strength to conceive. I think God rejuvenated her. Lord, come on, you're adding the scripture. Wait a second, what? How was she in the picture? Yeah. Picture was a few years earlier. And you know, in the time between God visited them and made that announcement, and 9 months later, when the firstborn happened, that a foreign king made a play to put her into his harem. How many of you know that foreign kings don't go for 90-year-old chicks? I'll have to check that one out with Abraham. But Did you catch that phrase in that verse? Where it said in verse 18, who against hope believed in hope? Abraham, he's the father of the faithful, but who against hope believed in hope? Listen to these other translations. Abraham, with no ground for hope, was sustained by hope. Abraham, who passed hope upon hope, believed. Abraham, hope being gone, hoped on. Oh, the father of our faith had to be the father of our hope. He had to be. Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The God of hope fill you. May the God of hope fill you. The God of what? The God of hope. May he fill you with all joy and peace in believing. How will you get joy and peace in believing? But by being good in hope, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. That you may know how to meditate in the Word of God and how to paint what the picture says and to see what God wants to do inside of you. Now, I have had individuals tell me, Pastor, you don't understand my situation. I've lost hope. I've lost hope. And I look at them and I say, that's a lie. It's a lie of the enemy. Because you cannot have lost hope unless you have lost Jesus and the family, and God, and the Bible. You may not know how to use hope. You may not understand hope. You may not meditate in the Word and get hope involved in your heart and life. But you can go to the Word and hope in the Word of God. You can do it. You can do it. You can take down pictures that you've painted falsely about yourself, where you've not seen yourself as God sees you. You can take down pictures about your situations that you've painted wrongly. You can take down situations, pictures about your kids that you painted wrongly. And you can hope in God. You can hope in God. I do not see my children working in the ministry. That to me is not important. You say, well, what pictures do you have of your kids? I see my kids in the house of God. I see their hands up. I see tears going down their cheeks, melting in the presence of God. Yeah. And I tell you, if I get God to do that, I don't have to worry about what they do with their lives. I don't have to worry about their vocation or what gifts they're going to fulfill or how God's going to use them. I don't care. I just want them touched by the presence of God, yes, in the house of God, melting in the presence of God.
You need to find some scriptures to paint new pictures about something. Did I turn off or something?
What pictures do you have that need to be replaced? I tell you, let the Holy Spirit do a work this morning. Let's bow in prayer, okay? Father, in Jesus' name, I ask, Father, that the power of the Holy Ghost will help identify things that have hindered and things that have blocked and things that have worked against your Spirit fulfilling the Word of God in these individuals. And I pray, Father, that every picture that doesn't come from a lively hope be taken down. And that, Father, that you give people the courage to hope in the living God. That you give them courage to find the verses that pertain to them and their situation and allow them to hope in the living God. Oh God, bring us to that lively hope. Bring us to that power of the Spirit. Bring us to that expression of God. And I pray, Father, that you'll restore hope to individuals this morning. That you'll allow there to be an excitement and a liveliness in their walk with God and their hope. We ask this in Jesus' name. I'm going to turn the service back to Pastor. But now, if you need prayer, you've got a situation you want prayer for, I'll be up front after the service is dismissed to pray with anyone as long as people need prayer, okay? If you got something that the Holy Spirit's working on you on and you say, I would like prayer, I will be around till everybody who wants prayer gets prayed for, okay, Pastor?
Thank you, Pastor Warren. Fantastic. Anybody receive any hope simply through the preaching of the Word this morning? Pastor Ward, you don't know this, but just 2 weeks ago, the message here was on a future and a hope, and we talked about Abraham and Sarah birthing an Isaac. So let's pray, and let's sing Lovely Name again. Shall we stand? The Lord is here to minister to you this morning. I agree, and Pastor Ward, you'll join us in prayer. And if you need a physical touch in your body, make yourself available for that anointing to come upon you. If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered and given your life fully to Jesus, come on up front. We'll be honored to pray with you. If you need a physical touch in your body, come up front. We'll pray for you. If you are spoken to by this morning's message and you want prayer, come on up front. We'll pray for you. God is here, and He can do above and beyond all that we ask or think. Can He not? Can He? Amen. Lord, we thank You for the preaching of Your Word. Lord, we reach out and let's lay hands on our brother and sister this morning. We thank You for Pastor Ward and for Darla. Lord, we thank You for their gracious service to You. We thank You for the powerful service to You and the Word of God that works richly within. We thank You for the miracles of testimony and life, O God, that continue in abundance, and the richness of Your life, Lord Jesus, that is given away to us. Now we return blessing upon blessing to them. Jesus, we thank You for Your faithful servants. Thank You, Lord. The steps of a good man and woman are ordered of the Lord. Continue to guide and guard and guide every step. We pray in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.